Bräutigam. Lob, Ehre, Reichtum und Anbetung sei dir, aus dankbaren Herzen, Herr Jesus von mir, für all deine Gnade und all deine Treu, die du stets beweisest aus Reich. Lob, Ehre, Reichtum und Anbetung sei dir, aus dankbaren Herzen, Herr Jesus von mir, für all deine Gnade und all deine Treu, die du stets beweisest aus Reich.
Amen.
Amen.
Wir dürfen uns setzen. Nun bitten wir Bruder Frank.
Now we ask Brother Frank. I'm also greeting all of you in the precious name of our Lord. And I wish that all are feeling free and at home. We, of course, are gathered from near and far, from the far north, from Finland, up, yes, the whole of Europe, and beyond that. Even brothers and sisters from Chile are here, and those who have not come, they're all sending regards. Then we have greetings from Nairobi, from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from Luanda, from Kolwezi, from Benin, and yes, from half of the world. And we're just so grateful that God has led it in such a way that His Word is reaching the ends of the earth. When I think about that today, in many countries, brothers and sisters are hearing and seeing and can experience the services, they can experience with us, then this is quite wonderful. We will make use of this day to report quite a number of things and to say a few things. Maybe also the greetings from our beloved brother Etienne Genton. He has sent us a word of greeting. Isaiah 46, verse 10. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And then are also coming regards which our brother has sent us. We also would like to greet all from here. I know in the city of Prague they are now watching and seeing. In Bratislava they are also listening and watching. And on other places also on the earth. May God be with all. The bride of the Lamb is of course coming from all peoples, tongues and nations. And God is now really leading it in such a way that His word is carried to call out the bride church, to separate her so that she is purified. And as Brother Rus already said, to be ready when the bridegroom returns to take his own home. Today, we will look back to 40 years and more. And I would like that also our brethren Russ and Schmidt will say a few things. We of course heard together the word since 1960, sharing the word with others. So we are looking back to many, many years in which God has blessed us together. And afterward, I will continue. Thank you, Brother Schmidt. If we would have to be very just, then we should call many more brethren to the front who could give a testimony of that, what God has done. But I'm trying to be just now. I see here Brother Kupfer, I see other brothers from various countries whom God used also in a wonderful way to carry the same word. I'm thinking now on my friend Dr. Mbie, who phoned me and said, Brother Frank, here about 2,500 persons will be gathered to have our year's end meeting. We really look into all the world and we see that God has done great things. But before we come into this, I would like to ask that our two sisters will sing a song.
Da wo Gott mich braucht, will ich kämpfen. Gern trag das Kreuz und folg dem Heiland nach. Da wo Gott mich braucht, will ich kämpfen. Gern trag das Kreuz und folg dem Heiland nach. Wenn Versuchung hart und schwer mich drücket, dann auf seinen starken Arm ich lehn. Denn ich weiß, er wird sein Kind bewahren und in der schwersten Stunde nicht von mir gehen. Denn ich weiß, er wird sein Kind bewahren und in der schwersten Stunde nicht von mir gehen. Wenn die Wolken immer dunkler werden, dann vertrau ich Gott und fürcht mich nicht. Wenn die Menschen alle mich verlassen, weiß ich gewiss, mein Gott verlässt mich nicht. Wenn die Menschen alle mich verlassen, weiß ich gewiss, mein Gott verlässt mich nicht. Amen. Wenn den Todesstrom ich muss durchschreiten, dann an seiner Brust ich Ruhe süß. Droben wird das Perlentor sich öffnen, mit Jesu leb ich dann im Paradies. Droben wird das Perlentor sich öffnen, mit Jesu leb ich dann im Paradies. das Perlentor sich öffnen. Mit Jesu leb ich dann im Paradies.
Amen. Amen. Ja. Einfach schön.
Just so nice that we can believe with all our hearts, believing as the scripture says it. Year's end meeting, looking back to a past year, looking back to 40 years and more. Firstly, I would like to thank all our brethren here at this place, to the choir leader in a special way, trumpet choir, instruments, singers. Much time is needed for this. We thank our brother for it. Sunday school teacher, we thank our brother for it. We just thank all our brethren and sisters. We thank also our beloved brother Achim Borg that he is using his time to be up to date with the internet. At present, if I'm not mistaken, at present we can be heard worldwide in two languages, and we can also be seen, and not long from now it shall increase to 6 languages, so that by live streaming the whole world in the main languages can hear and see. In connection with this, we thank all our brethren, beginning with Brother Siegfried Fleck up to our brother from Venezuela. Just think about it. 12 different languages are being translated up there simultaneously. And when we then take also to heart that God opened the borders so that the whole of Eastern Europe could be included into the program of God. We think about how difficult it was during all the years of the Cold War to cross the borders. I said it here recently, I think here especially on Pressburg, Bratislava. One barrier goes down in front of your car and the other barrier goes down behind the car. And then, opening the boot, all the 4 doors opened and so forth. And the man, the family in front of me, they had to take out the suitcase, putting it there, and everything was searched. And I was thinking by myself, with my literature, with my cassettes, with everything what I had in my car, and just one look up. Words one could not make there, everywhere were the devices. But just one look up and one deep sigh was enough. When it was my turn then to drive through, I actually was not asked to do anything, just to show my passport. And then I was told, have a good journey. You cannot imagine. At that time, I was a fast driver, but then my foot really stepped upon the accelerator, and I was gone. Just for your information, my fastest speed was with a Merc 250E going 232 kilometers per hour. But this is a long time ago. I'm just so grateful. I can look back onto the wonderful years, how God was leading everything. And also here at the place, be it the print shop, the dispatch office, everything is being done. And for everything, God was taking care of. And the right people are all at the right place. I didn't say to anyone, you or you. God was just leading it that way. Think of our brother Erwin Pacheco from Venezuela. Who was leading him that he is here now in the country and that he can translate into the Spanish language? I think it's 23 countries which are Spanish speaking. And so the brethren in the various languages, they can pass on the same word and all the world can hear it. Brothers and sisters here at this place, I thank you. Although I don't mention all the details, but I'm just so grateful that God has led it in such a way that all can do what has to be done. It's really like it was with Moses. The tasks which had to be done were all carried out. And God, by His Spirit, He has given even the natural talents that everything could be done and carried out according to the will of God. In the moment, I think on our brethren and sisters in Romania who are now also listening and who are watching. I remember the trips since 1968 into the Eastern Bloc, wherever it went. And God has given grace. He always helped. And so we are looking back to all these years with a thankful heart. We are looking back. When I then see all my brothers and sisters from Switzerland, from Austria, from all the neighboring countries, from all of Africa, and from everywhere, then it fills my heart with thankfulness that God, in our time, that He has a people on earth in our time, which believes His word, which gets it revealed, and which may have part in that, what God is doing. Brother Schmidt, of course, didn't mention, I think it was Karaganda, or wherever it was, he stayed there. And also there I was. And here we see another Brother Schmidt from Uzbekistan, or wherever it was. Brothers and sisters, this is not the work of man. This is God's work. This is God's work. When I now think on Sister Möslacher, her mom, in 1968, it was, she received an instruction from the Lord in a dream that a man with the name of Ewald Frank will speak on Radio Luxembourg, and this would be the message for this time. It were the leadings of the Lord, which just left tracks of blessings. And so, I could actually report many more things of all the countries. I see here in the front, Brother Lackner. I see all of you. And here the Kupfers, and who they are, all my brethren and all my sisters. I am convinced that all of us, we will see together the glory of God. I made the vow to the Lord that He shall keep me to not preach anything which could not stand in His presence. And connected with it, I said to the Lord while weeping very much, I said, "Beloved Lord, give me the grace that all who hear your word from my mouth, that they all can believe and be saved." This was my wish and my desire. And today, we not only have the year-end meeting, but we have also the memory on the ministry of Brother Branham. And to this, I would like to make the following remark. There are, of course, religions and denominations who have their prophets and their prophetesses. This is well known all over. One does not need to mention their names here. But the difference between us and all the others is that one. They all have their prophet or their prophetess as the founder of their denomination. This is then their prophet or their prophetess. We have no prophet and no prophetess, but God had prophets. And this is the big difference. John the Baptist was not the prophet of a denomination, but a promised prophet with a divine commission in the plan of salvation. In the same way, it was with all the prophets in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, so that the church might be edified and perfected. So, Brother Branham was not your and my prophet, not a prophet of a church, but a prophet of God, confirmed in a supernatural way. And just think on the days of Ahab. There were even 400 prophets, but they were prophets of Israel, but church prophets, not prophets of God. Micah was the prophet of God. The 400, they were eating at the table of Jezebel, but Elijah and then also Micah, these were prophets of God through which the Lord could speak and work. And this we recognized. And for this, we are very grateful to God. I would like to read some scriptures, and I'm asking that we stand up for it. Some scriptures before I come to the details, which are important and which are worthy to be mentioned and are worthy that we think about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of this honesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. From the same chapter, we read from verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now to the hint of Numbers 33. Where the 40 stations of the people of Israel are mentioned by name. Numbers 33, from verse 5 to 49, the 40 stations which Israel went through are mentioned. The names of the places are listed. I just read the headlines. The listing of the 40 camps in which the Israelites stayed during the 40-year-long journey through the wilderness. And to this we read from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 9. Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 12 and 13. Nehemiah 9, 12 and 13. "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon the Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments." From verse 19 in Nehemiah 9, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." "Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst." Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank Thee with all our hearts for all Your leadings and for the effort and labor which You have with Your people, be it in the Old or in the New Testament. We ask You for mercy. Forgive all our erring, all our disobedience. Forgive us everything what cannot stand before You. Take everything from us and bless us and lay Your word as the divine seed into our hearts. We glorify the power of Your blood, of Your word, and of Your spirit, and we proclaim Your victory over Your people. Have Thine own way with all of us. We thank You for it. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For me, and I think for all of us, it is just so important to see the difference between the original word and between the interpretation. We have written a whole brochure. In the beginning was the word, not the interpretation. I want to show you on two examples which pertain to Israel, and to show you what kind of calamity is connected with an interpretation. The first place, from Exodus 22. Exodus 22. Here we have a word which the people of Israel misunderstood and misinterpreted up to this very day. Exodus 22, verse 30. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep 7 days. It shall be with his dam. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. Out of this scripture, and maybe I should read you from chapter 23, also verse 19. Exodus 23, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not boil a kid in his mother's milk. You can look it up. Exodus 34, verse 26. Once again, it is being said here. Exodus 34, verse 26. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not boil a kid in his mother's milk. I looked it up. In the first German Bible edition of Mr. Zwingli, 1531, and in the first German Bible edition of Luther, 1545, it's truly written black on white. thou shalt not boil the kid while it still sucks the mother's milk. Now, just think for one moment now. Out of this instruction which God has given, and now we come already to the point now. One may not just take one place. One must take the second. One must take the third place to it, to not misunderstand the one, but to understand it rightly. One scripture can be interpreted, but when we take two or three, then we have the overall view, the information about that, what was said. I read once again, Exodus 22, verse 30. And listen closely. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. It cannot be said any clearer. And now listen closely. The people of Israel has not only interpreted this scripture, but even wrote it like this into their Bibles. Thou shalt not boil the kid in her mother's milk. And out of this, they made a whole religion of it. That milk and meat cannot be on one table and on the same dish. Two sets of dishes, everything two sets. And this because of one single misunderstanding. Because one has not taken the scripture, namely more scriptures, to understand the things which were said in the right way. All who were in Israel, by the way, we are inviting all of you, if the Lord tarries, in the next year, we are planning to make an Israel trip. But I just mention this for one reason. One can refer to the Holy Scripture, and yet twisting and turning it and misleading the people. God's word may not be twisted and turned. God's word must be left in the original as it is written. The second point is with the name of the Lord. And to this, I read you briefly just one place from the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 6. Amos 6 from verse 9. Amos 6 from verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. Out of this text, the people of Israel, by their scribes, up to this day, they did not speak out the name Yahweh. They may not do it, but instead they used the name Adonai up to this very day. He who hears the prayers at the wailing wall will never hear the word Yahweh. It's always Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. But Adonai can be a ruler, can be a king, can be anyone. Sarah called Abraham Lord Adonai. But our Lord is not only Adonai, not only a ruler and Lord. He is the great I Am who was and who revealed himself to Moses. And this we can read. He revealed him his name. Exodus chapter 6. Here it's written, of course. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Here it's written, J-H-W-H, in the original. J-H-W-H. And out of this came up the name Yahweh, the eternally in himself existing one. And it continues, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Lord God, Elohim Yahweh, was I not known to them. But it continues, God has given the promise that there where he records his name, there he will come to his people. There where his name is. Exodus. Exodus. Chapter 20. Verse 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. We could read the many scriptures up to Psalm 22, verse 22, where it is about the revelation of the name of God. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Let us go to the prophet Joel. And here we are told what should take place. Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is not written Adonai. He is written Yahweh, the eternally existing one, the almighty one who revealed himself in a visible form of appearance, making his covenant, and who has given the promise wherever I record my name. This is that place which I have chosen, and there I will come to thee, and there I will bless thee. And this goes up to the New Testament, up to the book of Acts. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This goes up to Romans chapter 10. He, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just mentioned these two examples
ohne die Offenbarung
to see what the scribes can do with the word if they don't have the revelation by the Spirit. And we must say it here once. With the word of God, much deception and much misleading is being committed through all the interpretations which are added to the word. And therefore, God has put the emphasis on it, that His word is being preached in the original, and that we compare everything with the Old and the New Testament to see the full harmony, the full agreement in the Old and in the New Testament, knowing that both belong together, and that in the Old the promises were given, and in the New they find their fulfillment. When in Luke 2, verse 11 it says, "For unto you is born this day the Lord," then this is not some kind of Adonai, then this is the Lord personally who came to us. One must just see the Holy Scripture in its context, and only then it will become clear to us. The difference will be shown to us between all the interpretations, and we could go into the New Testament. It already starts with Genesis 1, where the Lord God said, "Let us make man." And the same God said in the next chapter, "Man has become like one of us." The same God, in chapter 11, he said, "Let us go down and let us see whether the things are so bad as we heard it." And when our Lord says in the New Testament, "Let us go to the other side of the sea," then let us, and finished. But let us as it is. Do not interpret into it what does not belong into it. But at least go to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, to understand. When the Lord God speaks in the plural, then he speaks to those who surround him who sits on the throne. The heavenly hosts have surrounded the Lord God. And then he could say very simply, who wants to be our messenger? And who will go for us? One must follow the tracks, the divine tracks. One must follow from the very beginning, and not interpreting here and there, reading something into it what is not even written. And then we come already to the point concerning the baptism. And here one must just say, the announcement was clear, very clear. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is the name which is above every name. Not you shall call him Adonai, ye shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We thank God who laid the respect for his word into us. And brothers and sisters, I'm really, by the grace of God, I'm not only looking back to these 40 years, I'm looking back to 60 years. 1945, when everything was destroyed and lying in rubble. And our daddy, after the flight, he He was gathering the whole family around the table, and he was reading to us from the Holy Scripture. Since 1945, I read the Bible daily, daily. And since the first day, 1945, on Good Friday, I will never forget it. The Thursday before was the last day of our flight, and we arrived at the Lüneburger Heide, and then came the Good Friday, and the word was read. God has laid into my heart the reverence for His word from the very first day when I consciously heard the word when it was read to me. And by this, it remained. When I now today look back to these 40 or 50 or 60 years, then it was all grace. I didn't take anything from my own. I could not give myself anything, but everything are You, O Lord. And the same it is with all of us, brothers and sisters. And I know Brother Rus could report much about the consequences of World War II. Brother Schmidt could also report just as much. I don't want to report this, but one thing I would like to mention. Today it's Bydgoszcz. At that time the city was called Bromberg. Bromberg is very well known. When 1939, 40,000 Germans were slaughtered in connection with the outbreak of World War II. Bloodbath of Bromberg, all know about it. The German military crossed the river Weichsel. The gunfire could be heard. And after the last German tank drove over the bridge of the river Weichsel between Thorn and Bromberg, then the bridge exploded before our eyes, and we were on the side of the Red Army. And my dad, a God-fearing man who was sent back from the war on the 30th of November 1945, and he said, the war is lost, we must flee. He goes down the riverbank. There the river made a little curve, and he was testing the ice with his foot, whether the ice was thick enough to walk on it. And he came back, and he said, my boys, my brother Arthur on one side, and I was on the other side of the chariot, we drove down the river banket, and we drove over the ice, and we reached the other side safely. Maybe 200 meters away from us, away from the bridge, there a chariot with four horses drowned in the river, but we were on the other side. Brothers and sisters, such experiences one does not forget. One can get old like Methuselah, but things like this, it just burns into your memory. And then the praise and worship on the other side, and the thanksgiving to the Lord who was leading us and was guiding us. Let us come to 1955. When Brother Branham came to Switzerland and to Germany. Yes, I was young. I carried the Bible not far from me. I actually carried, at that time, I carried already like this, under the arm. And I thought by myself, you know the Holy Scripture. Yes. And when I experienced Brother Branham, as the first thing, my pride was judged. The first thing, my pride was judged. I've seen in what kind of wonderful way God used Brother Branham. There really, on the spot, happened what was spoken out. And you all know his special call, which no one can give unto himself. When the angel of the Lord gave him the instruction of what kind of ministry he had to carry out, that it will repeat what happened in the ministry of the Son of Man. When John 5, verse 19 and 20 was fulfilled, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. And therefore the Father shows him everything, what he is going to do. And so Brother Branham, to him was given the instruction on the 7th of May 1946, that what is shown to you in the vision, speak it out, because from God's side it has already taken place. And the instruction was even completed by the sentence, nothing will be able to withstand, not even cancel. It was directly spoken out. Nothing will withstand whatever you speak, not even cancel. And that's how it was. It was confirmed by God during almost 20 years. Brother Branham himself, he of course was just traveling to 12 countries while he was alive. More was not granted to him, but the whole world came to know of that what God has done by His grace. And brothers and sisters, after 2,000 years, the Lord God confirmed His word in a supernatural way, as in the days of our Lord and in the times of the apostles. May I bypass it? May you bypass it with shaking your head and making remarks? No. This God does not permit. When God does something on earth, then for His people, as a gracious visitation from the Almighty God. And we must say, according to Luke 19, from verse 41, the Lord wept over Jerusalem, and He gave the rebuke, if thou wouldest have known this day what is for thy peace. Everything else was there. The scribes were there. The Pharisees were there, the Sadducees, they were there. All of them, they wanted to teach the people with the word. And they've said, if this one would be of God, then he would keep the Sabbath. And time and again criticizing and criticizing, calling him Beelzebub, as a Samaritan. They called him, who has a demon. And they were the religious leaders of the chosen people of God. And this is the big trouble, that the people of God are being misled by their leaders, namely around that what God is doing according to His word. Let us be honest. Since the first promise from the Garden of Eden, 4,000 years have passed. And 4,000 years is quite a time period. And the hope among the people of Israel was, of course, the coming of the Messiah. Everything was about this subject. Every service, every psalm, every sacrifice which was brought spoke about this, of course, that the Redeemer would come as a sacrifice to bruise the head of the serpent and to bring us redemption. And then we read in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the time was fulfilled, God sent His Son, promised throughout the whole Old Testament, up to the summary in Isaiah 7, verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the prophet Micah, he said exactly where it would happen, namely in Bethlehem, in Judea. And when the time was fulfilled, it happened. I've said it last Sunday in Zurich. If one just reads the word Bethlehem, then it has no meaning yet. But if one reads the word in the Hebrew language, Bethlehem, house of bread. And then one reads John 6, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Bethlehem, house of bread. The living bread came down from heaven. And our Lord says, whosoever eats of this bread shall live forever. Brothers and sisters, we are very thankful to God. But once again, the emphasis, 4,000 years of waiting. And then, when it happened, to miss it, to misjudge it, to reject it, to laugh about it, making the greatest mockery of that, what God promised. Who wants to take the responsibility for it? Brothers and sisters, let us come to our time. No one of the 500 evangelists who became known worldwide in the first and in the second revival wave had to take such a reproach upon him like Brother Branham. Misjudged to the utmost, vilified, that one almost could not listen to it. And behold, in Isaiah 53, it's written in reference to our Lord, rejected of men, despised and mocked at. And yet, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was laid upon him, upon the rejected one, upon the... But it was him. He was the promised Redeemer. And he paid the price. It was a small flock, which at that time believed, and which received the Lord as Messiah, as Savior. But it's written in John 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Even today, it is about the one name, which is above every name, unto which all knees shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord, for the glory of God the Father. That's how it is written. And that's how it will be. So, we are living in a special time. And this we recognized. And only he who is of God hears the voice of God. I'm not angry with anyone. And I even think it to be right that all, in all the religions, are doing what they are told. But in the same way, I think it to be right that all who are in the kingdom of God, all who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, are not doing what other religions or denominations are saying, but that the word of the Lord has to count in our midst. If someone says, I'm a Lutheran, then one can say, be the best Lutheran which there is since 482 years. Why not? If someone says, I'm Baptist, one can say to him, be the best Baptist which there is since the days of John Smith. If someone says, I'm Methodist, one can say, be the best Methodist which there is since the days of John Wesley. One can confidently say to all, but in the moment where the word of God is addressed and spoken to a man, then he doesn't refer anymore to Luther, Wesley, and who they were, but he hears the call of the Lord, and he comes to him. And our Lord says, he who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. So, we have nothing against denominations. May they all remain where they are, until God calls them out. And when God calls us out, regardless of language, of nationality, of confession, regardless of the skin color, when God calls us, then counts really only that what is written in the Word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church, one body of the Lord, out of many members, baptized into one body. This we must just see this way, because that's how the Holy Scripture teaches it. On this day, it is my lot to touch also briefly upon the new beginning which God has given. And I'm asking all of you to read when you later on go home. But it's quite a number of points which must be mentioned now. Not for my sake. I'm the least among all whom the Lord has called to serve him, whom he has sent to preach his word. But I also must say here very honestly, I myself was astonished when I listed the experiences here, in what kind of wonderful way the Lord, from the very beginning, how he was leading and guiding. And I want, so that by no means I will forget, I want to all you who you believe from the very beginning, or you who later on were added and who you support the work of God by prayer and also by your gifts, may God really bless you. You know very well, I returned from the USA. At that time, I was working for the German government in the Department of Defense. And as the first thing, I handed in my notice. And I didn't even know at all from where my income would come. It was faith. It was steps of faith from the very beginning. And when we look today on that, what God has done. We didn't have to collect any offering. 67 brothers all over the world are being supported. And everything what belongs to the kingdom of God can be done. And the expenses and the income are nicely balanced to the positive. And for this, we are God very much thankful. But there were instructions which I just want to share now with you. Even most of them are known already. The Bible is open in front of me. I have no need to afterward invent anything. This is neither my natural nor my divine mentality. When I heard the voice of the Lord, and the last words were as a command. When I say as a command, the voice of the Lord really goes through all your bones. No man can imagine how penetrating the voice of the Lord is, how tremendous the sound of the Lord is. And the last two things which were spoken to me on the 2nd of April 62, just at the dawning of a new day in Krefeld, in Luisen Street 160, on the second floor, where my servant, do not establish any local churches and do not publish a songbook, for it is a sign of denomination. The words which I just said now are just as true as every word in this book from which I have read. You can imagine. I of course know that local churches are biblical. I of course know that Paul asked Timothy and Titus to appoint elders. Titus should remain in Creta and should appoint elders. And to me, it was commanded just once in 1964. On that Friday evening, I was told to appoint Brother Leonard Russ and Paul Schmidt as elders. First name and surname were mentioned. I have heard it with these ears. And it happened. But on all over the world, I may not establish one single church. I must go from city to city, carrying the divine message. Everything else must be left to the brethren at the place. God, of course, has various ministries, not only one. Here we have our brothers as elders, and we are thankful to God for them. I cannot be like Paul at one place for 6 months or even 2 years. This is not even possible. From city to city, from country to country. And keep it in mind, alone from the city of Düsseldorf, from January 2004 up to December 2005, 159 times I went up into the air, not counting all the other flights on all the continents, in all the countries of the earth. Alone from Düsseldorf, 159 flights. God has led it just this way. I can nothing for it. This is God's command, God's commission, and it must be carried out. And as I said just now, everything else I leave to the Lord God. Then, especially, should brothers have connections to other directions within the message, you know how the thunder interpretations are making their round all over the world. And it's really winds of doctrines. which move the people to and fro and taking them away from the word. And this I just can't stand. But we have a sister who dwells now in Paris. Earlier she was staying in Marseille. She was with us at the last Israel trip. And she said, "Brother Frank, I can still remember that evening in Marseille when the brothers from Armenia, when they were surrounding you and they were asking you about the seven thunders from Revelation 10. And I tell you, it was the first time in my life when I had no answer to a biblical question. And very, very sad, I went upstairs into my small room. It is the same watch which I still wear today. When the whole experience was over, it was 5 to 5 in the morning. 5 to 5 in the morning. As you hear my voice now, my servant, get up and read 2 Timothy 4. And again, repeat it, get up and read 2 Timothy 4. I got up and I read from verse 1 to 5 and then I started again with verse 1 and when I came to verse 2, preach the word, be it in season or out of season, may they hear it or not, teach, exhort and so forth. I think it's the same Bible even today. I've laid it in front of me onto the small table and my hands went up to the Lord and I said, "Dear Lord, as sure as you have commanded me to read this word, so sure that what in Revelation 10 is spoken of the seven thunders was not written down as the word of God. And therefore, it will never be preached. It remains with God until the time of fulfillment comes." Brethren can come from all over the world. And there are such brothers in Jamaica. And here and there, they all know already what the seven thunders have spoken. I must just say, thus saith the Lord. We are only obligated to that what is written in the Word of God. Everything else is an add-on. And when it is written in Revelation 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he who reads the words of the prophecy of this book and keeps those things which are written therein," then I have the right, I have the divine right to insist on it, that only the written word of God is the lamp unto my feet forever. What people are saying doesn't bother me. I have to stick to that, what the Lord has said. And then, also, concerning the last working and move of God. You all know, we are waiting for the perfection of the bride church. We are all waiting that the Lord finishes the work in us which he started unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ. That's how Paul has written it. And that's how it will be. That, namely, that at the end of the time of grace will be a mighty working of the Spirit with the ministry of the spoken word, that it will be spoken out what shall take place. And it will take place. This is John 14, verse 12. "The works that I did, ye shall do also, and greater works than these For I go to the Father. Every promise of God is yea and amen. And blessed is the man who does not approach the word with his intellect, but who receives by the Spirit through faith what the Lord promised in his word. Let us come to the other points very briefly, especially with the wheat field and with the combine. More scoff and mockery I didn't get except for this. I was called Antichrist. I even have that brochure with me with the headline, The Combine File. Nice headline, The Combine File. And then a great mockery was done with Brother Frank as Antichrist, who is sitting on the combine. I must honestly say, I feel sorry for such people. And as long as I can pray for them, saying, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, then I'm thankful to God for it. And up to this day, I didn't do anything but to do that, to pray. I could always pray for those who misunderstand me or who misunderstand the divine commission. I could pray for them, and I could commit them unto the grace of the Lord, because it's still the time of grace. True is that I have seen an overripe wheat field which was seared by the sun with the ears really bent down like this. Not like here. I didn't see it like this. I've seen the wheat field, the cornfield, and everything evenly on that huge field. And then the voice of the Lord, as you hear my voice, the combine is for you to bring in the harvest. You can read it all here. If this would have been the cornfield, I started to reap here. I was reaping, and the last cut from here to there, and it became dark. It started to thunder, as if the whole world would break down. But the harvest was brought in. And then of course can come what shall come. Important is that the wheat is gathered into the heavenly garner. What will happen then with the chaff? This is not my thing anymore. I'm interested in that the wheat is gathered there into the heavenly garner. And then, of course, also, especially the trip to India. You must imagine, I just fetched the ticket, having it here in my pocket, and I come into the office, Lake Street number 7, into the room, and I was just sitting down with the ticket in my pocket at around 10 o'clock in the morning, as you hear my voice now. And the voice of the Lord always comes from up, but from the right. Never from the front, never from the left, always from the up, but from the right. My servant, cancel the trip to India. As a man coming from Prussia, I have some kind of conviction. And do you know what I did? I confess it openly before the Lord. I got into my car and I drove to the next forest, Hochbentweg. I parked my car and I went up and down and I said, Dear Lord, can it really not be? The meetings are all arranged. The brethren are waiting. Beloved Lord, can it really not be? May I really not go? You must imagine. I'm coming back from the Hochbentweg, from that forest, crossing the street, crossing the railway on the other side, And I returned, and it was a quarter past 11 on the same day. I was just sitting down. I was just sitting down onto the same chair before the little desk. As you hear my voice now, but don't ask me with what kind of penetrating sound my servant canceled the trip to India. You have read it in the newspapers. After the takeoff in Bombay to Madras, the plane caught fire. All 96 passengers burned in the flames and died in this crash. And when the time came also the phone call from the city of Bonn, from the foreign ministry. They phoned the Lake Street 7, whether we know that the missionary Ewald Frank was among the passengers who perished. And the missionary Ewald Frank was sitting again on the same chair on which he was sitting. Brothers and sisters, this may not mean much to you, but you can place yourself into my situation. What this means for me, to have received direct instructions from the Lord in all these years and time and again anew. I write it in the circular letter. No servant of God succeeded, except maybe Enoch. 365 years he walked with the Lord without blame. Most servants of God had to do this or that, not always in the perfect, but sometimes also in the permissible will of God. God knows why. But one thing I know, God has held his hand over the ministry which he has given for this time. And in the more than 6,000 sermons, we were estimating it, I don't have to take anything back. God has kept me that I preached his word as it can stand in his presence. Then, of course, came the I have called you according to Matthew 24. You know all my testimony. But then especially 1976, 13 years before the opening of the borders to Eastern Europe, before the fall of the wall in Berlin, as you hear my words now, my servant, when the borders are opening, then I will call the bride from the East European countries. I was in a huge hall. A huge chandelier was above me. And the voice of the Lord coming from the right side of the chandelier. And I was looking over the huge hall, and it began to be filled with people. But everywhere were still empty chairs. And when I noticed this, that everywhere were empty chairs, I looked to my left. There, the emergency exit opened, and behold, the leading brother with that group, the other one with that group, and they all came along the platform. And the leading brother was greeting me. All the others went with him without greeting me. They were taking their seats. And when the last group entered, I looked over the crowd, and no single chair remained empty. All seats were taken 13 years before the opening of the borders to East Europe. Brothers and sisters, we could continue with the wonderful experiences of the instructions and to report of the directions and guidance of the Lord. I say it once again, for you who are hearing this, it may not mean as much as it means for me, but please place yourself into my place. We truly have the instructions of the Lord. Even what concerns these buildings here, you heard it already from my mouth. It doesn't have to be repeated here, but Just for a testimony, let it be said. Next to this building was the neighboring ground with a 2 meter high fence. It was a prison camp in World War II. And on top of the fence was a barbed wire. And I was coming here. At around this point, I was coming around the corner of the building. There where the old cherry tree was. And as you hear my voice now, the darkness was just setting in. And the Lord said, "My servant, go onto the neighboring ground and dedicate it to me, for people will come from many countries who must be accommodated." And the Lord said, "Build on it." You can all read it. I don't have to repeat it here in details. Brothers and sisters, these are for me memories for which I'm thankful to God, for all the directions which He has given, holding His hand over everything, despite of all the trials, despite of all what came upon me and what came upon the church. The Lord knows His own, and He leads us rightly on His way for His holy name's sake. And I can assure you, in the name of the Lord, ye have not followed cunningly devised fables. Ye were not running after a man who said of himself to be a prophet. You didn't follow a man who claims to have a call. I'm convinced you have heard the voice of the Lord from the Word. The Lord God spoke to you personally. And we're not following Brother Branham. We're not following Brother Frank. And God has taken care for that our eyes are not set on a man, but that we look to the Lord, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He called us with a holy calling, and He called us to be with Him for all eternity. And therefore, the calling out, the separation, the purification, as it was promised in the prophet Daniel for the last time. The full agreement with bride and bridegroom, the perfect uniting in the Spirit by word and spirit in the blood-bought flock. I repeat myself, the true church of Jesus Christ hears the word of God alone. No man has the right to decide. No man has anything to say in the church of the living God. Only the Lord. And when we then make the remark, and we must make this remark, that to us, what people decided in councils are of no interest to us at all. What is that to me? What was decided in 325 in the Council of Nicaea? I'm not interested in it at all. They didn't decide anything to me, only for them, but not for me. Or in the Council 381 in Ephesus, the creed was expanded to a much longer version than that of Nicaea. You can read it. One is written left and one is written on the right page. Right from Chalcedon, left of Nicaea. But I'm not interested in it. Athanasius or Augustine or Hieronymus have, of course, nothing to say to me. Don't you think so? To me, God has something to say through Peter, through James, through John, through Paul. Namely that, what was written down here as the testimony of God. And this distinguishes us. And this we don't take back. By this it remains that we believe as the Scripture has said. This is our divine right. And we do not allow any man to take this divine right from us. I've said it before. May all believe in their denominations what they are told there until the Lord calls them. But when the Lord calls, then no one can believe this way or that way. Then all are believing as the Scripture has said. Just think of it for one moment. The latest state of which I know of is that there are 347 Christian denominations which are joined in the World Council of Churches. And this one Bible is being interpreted in hundreds of ways. And all are saying, we believe correctly. We are in the right. And all the others are wrong. No. Not like this. It doesn't work. There must be a divine standard. And I actually wanted to read it to you. In the Old Testament, there was not only the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, which was accompanying the people of Israel. There was the breastplate of Aaron with the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel, known as the Urim and Tumim, as the light and perfections. And the high priest, he entered the temple or the house of God, or he went into the tent, into the tabernacle. And when someone presented a revelation, then, in a supernatural way, the light of the 12 stones had to flash. And if this did not happen, if the light did not flash from these precious stones, bye-bye, the thing has nothing to do with God. Because God did not confirm it. Because God did not confirm it. Therefore, it is written, until the priest comes with the light and perfections. What is our light? What is our perfection? The doctrine of the 12 apostles. What shall be when somebody is reading Acts 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles? If he is not even interested at all to hear what the apostles taught. And then he even prays before the Lord's Supper, he prays in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But he's reading before Acts 2, verse 42. And it is written of the doctrine of the apostles, of the fellowship, of the breaking of bread, and of the prayers. Everybody can read it, but we are interested in to find ourselves in the Word of God, to find ourselves in the Word of God. Does the Word apply for me? Am I placed into the Word? In the beginning was the Word and not the interpretation. Many things should be said. Today, we will together give praise to God, especially for the grace which He has given us to have been acquainted with that what He promised for this time. We have said it in the last weeks and months, maybe in the last 2 or 3 years, We have said it time and again. First, God gives promises. And then he fulfills what he promised. God's promises remain. They do not stagger. Jesus has sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word. As a German poem goes, Brother Frank is reciting a German song. If you agree, then we would watch a portion now of a service of Brother Branham, which was held in Washington, D.C. in 1954. Of course, very primitive. One has to place himself back into these years. Some kind of amateur had the impression that he should film the meeting. And on this film can be seen his brother Branham's helplessness. His helplessness is shown there. And one can also see there how the Lord reveals to him what is with the person who stands in front of him, for whom he prays. I think we have quite a number amongst us who never saw it like this before, and who never heard it, and who never experienced it. I say once again, the simplicity of the meeting, of the ministry, and also the simplicity of the film itself. Please, do not stumble over it. Just to concentrate on that, what God could do through a man whom he has called, whom he has commissioned, whom he has sent. It was no other of the 500 evangelists who were part of the first and second revival wave. It was Brother Branham who was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. 40 years ago, the Lord God took his servant into glory. And think about it what you like. But I have seen him going up in a cloud, bent over like this, on the 24th of December 1965. In this vision, I cried out, almost under pain, I cried out, Brother Branham, but you are not the Son of Man. Why do I see you on that cloud? And he was taken up. I didn't get any answer. Beginning of January, the 5th or the 6th of January, I received the letter of Brother Armbruster from Pennsylvania, USA, that Brother Branham, on that day, was taken from the earth into glory, and I have seen him going up. Judge it if you want, but I told you the truth. And I read it up later on, that in Revelation chapter 11, it is written that the two witnesses, when they finished their ministry, they will be killed. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life comes back into them, and that they are taken up in a cloud. Revelation, chapter 11. All can read it up. And in the same way it's written in Acts 1, verse 9, of our Lord, a cloud took him up. And so we believe it. God can do what he likes. Blessed is he who is not offended at it. For me, this was the divine proof that here is a connection to the ministry, a connection which God himself wanted and which he established. I'm not an Elisha, I'm not a Joshua, but so much I can say, based upon the divine call, I have a divine mandate to carry the word of the Lord, letting the whole world know what God promised for this time and what he is doing by his grace now. Until we come from believing unto seeing. Don't forget it. The best is yet to come. The best is ahead of us. We will still jump as the young calves. And we will thank God for that, what he's doing. Let us persevere. Let us persevere. Let us be patient. Not accelerating everything, but also not to slow down anything, but just always to be open before the Lord. And he will know time and hour. We've heard it in the song, Jesus is never too late. Even sometimes it looks like this, Jesus is never too late. Now, I've just have one question. Brothers and sisters, do you want to watch all of the film, all of the 59 minutes, or do you want to just watch the second portion, which mainly shows the prayer, the healing line? What shall we do? Do you wish to be here until midnight? Yes? Then we watch the whole 59 minutes. If you wanted to leave earlier, then we just ask you to remain here and this and finished. And then it will be good. Yes. What did we decide now? What did we decide now? Do we want to watch the whole service?